again, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on your hometown radio station, WMAF. And if you're listening by computer, we welcome you today. And if you have downloaded this message from our website, we're glad that you're joining us today around the Word of God. We've got a message to bring you today that the enemy of our soul wishes we wouldn't talk about, but that makes me want to shout it from the housetops. Praise God. We're going to talk today about interceding for the unsaved. We're still dealing with the subject of praying as a priest and the great priestly ministry of the New Testament saints is a powerful, powerful tool and weapon against the devil who holds captives, people who sit in darkness. And we are going to see, I believe, prison houses open today. We're going to see hell plundered so heaven can be populated if we obey the clear instructions that we find in the Word of God. So you don't want to miss this broadcast today. Amen. And if you're not a Christian today, we want you to know just how deeply God loves you. And we want you to know the extent that He has went to provide salvation for you, a way of escape from the terrible, terrible plight of sin. And we want you to know something else today. We want you to know that He has commissioned and commanded us who know Him to pray for you. You say, "Preacher, you don't know who I am. How can you care about me?" Friend, I can feel God's love for you in my heart right now. God knew you would be listening right now. Praise God. Yes, He did. He knew that you would be hearing this broadcast today. And I feel His love for you today. I don't have to know you. The one who knows you is flowing right now towards you in love. I'm convinced of that with every fiber of my being. So we want to get into God's Word today, and we want, more importantly, God's Word to get down on the inside of us. Amen? Hallelujah. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. I want to make a statement again. There is a priestly ministry in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. It's changed. It is a spiritual ministry and a spiritual priesthood. We're not offering physical sacrifices unto God, but we're still offering spiritual sacrifices unto God. We're not taking an offering from someone who wants to repent of their sin and being the go-between in their behalf and offering that as the Old Testament priests did. But we are still in the ministry of intercession. And when we pray for people who don't know Christ as their Savior, or people who are going through terrible times and need help from God, when we intercede and pray for one another in the Christian community, we are operating in a priestly ministry. And the Bible said that we have been made kings and priests unto God, literally a kingdom of priests unto God. Hallelujah. And the Bible said we are literally a royal priesthood in the New Covenant. Praise God. We have a ministry of reconciliation. We have a commission from God, a mandate from God Himself to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it all begins with not preaching. It begins with praying. It begins with prayer. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles and you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading verses 1 through verse 4. The Apostle Paul said, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. I want to read that again. Listen, who will have all men to be saved. If you're listening, you don't know Jesus today, and you think that you are too sinful, that you've slipped too far, that you've missed too many opportunities to come to Jesus, and there's no point. God could never love you and forgive you. You're very mistaken today. He wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's not His will, the Scriptures declare, that any perish, but that all might have eternal life. Amen. Friend, make no mistake about it today. You're the object of God's love. He can't just sweep your sin or mine under the carpet. He can't just look the other way. He's a holy God, and His holiness demands that He judge sin. But I want you to know very clearly today that God loves you. And He's made a way because of His love for you that He won't have to judge you, because He has judged your sin in Jesus Christ so that you can be saved. But you must receive Christ as your Savior and repent of your sin. It's that simple, and yet it's that mighty and powerful and important and serious today. Amen. You don't want to miss heaven. Believe me, you don't want to be banished and punished forever. You want to be sealed and saved. Listen very carefully. When I pray for anyone who doesn't know Jesus, I know something that is on my side that helps me to believe for people that don't even know they need to be saved and may resist with everything in them at first the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I am not discouraged in praying for anybody, because I know that God loves everybody. And I know that what John the Baptist said about Jesus Christ is true. When he saw Him coming, he made a statement that must have blown them away and set them back. How could this be what he's going to say? He saw Jesus coming, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I'm not talking about universalism, that everyone will somehow just be saved. No, but the price for the salvation of the world has been paid at the cross. And we are commissioned as Christians to intercede for the lost and to proclaim the good news that the lost don't have to be lost anymore. That everyone can come to Jesus, repent of their sins, and be saved. So the first principle in praying for the lost and interceding in this high priestly ministry is to understand clearly that the lost are loved by God. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Amen. Jesus died for the sins of the world. The story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19 is illustrative of this redemptive love of God for all people. Let me set this up a little bit. This man, Zacchaeus, the Bible called him a publican. And what a publican was in that day was a tax collector for Caesar's Rome. And you know what he was doing as Jerusalem and Israel occupied by Rome, under Roman rule and Roman government? And here is a citizen of Jerusalem. Here is a citizen of Israel. Here is a citizen of his countrymen, and he is taxing his own countrymen. And it would take a person of low degree, a person who had no problem with debauchery, a person who was filled with avarice and greed, to the extent that they would sell out their own people to line their own pockets. And what they would do is, because they were on a percentage basis, And instead of cutting his own people slack, he would overcharge them taxes because he got the percentage. He would make Rome rich while lining his own pockets. He was hated of his own people. They would have killed him, but he was under Roman protection. And yet, there was a man speaking by the name of Jesus, and somehow this man with his money lined, with his pockets lined with gold, was anxious to hear what Jesus had to say. You see, there's an emptiness that gold can't fill. There is something in the human soul, a longing that riches and all material possessions and power and fame cannot fill. And the Bible said that as Jesus got through speaking, he saw this man of short stature that had to climb a tree to look over the crowd and see him and hear him. And to the consternation and astonishment of the crowd, he said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house to eat today." And you know, this brought a lot of criticism of Jesus because this man eats with publicans and sinners. And yet the reason he was going to Zacchaeus' house is to confront him with the gospel of grace, the gospel of love, the gospel of salvation. And you know, the Bible didn't go into detail about what happened as Jesus ate with this man and shared with him. But the change that came into Zacchaeus' heart and Zacchaeus' life after that encounter with Jesus Christ, because love sought him out. He came to seek the lost. He said, "The well don't need a physician," Jesus taught. Amen. "The Son of Man is not come to call the righteous to repentance." But he went not to make any compromises or concessions or even to condone sin. But he went to love the sinner and to tell him he doesn't have to stay in that terrible, terrible bondage that he's in. And that there's something better than all that sin can provide. And that is the love of God and the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And this man who had defrauded people, he came out and here's what he did. He said, "If I've defrauded anyone of anything, you come to me. And I will restore unto you fourfold everything that I've taken." He had taken more than the rightful price to tax people or the rightful percentage. And he had invested it to make money, more money for himself. And he said, "You know something? This money's not mine. It's not rightfully mine. I'm going to give you back what I took, and I'm going to give you all the interest that I've made off of your money. And right now, instead of being this tax collector overcharging you, I'm going to be your investment broker, bringing you the dividends of the investments I made in your behalf." What a change in this man's heart, because he had an encounter with the love of God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God takes the love initiative. And we need to understand when we're praying for people that don't know Jesus, that God's heart is set upon them, not to damn them and judge them and destroy them, but to love them and save them and seal them. Glory be to God. Amen. This is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are legal grounds upon which we are to pray for the lost, and they are God's love and Christ's sacrifice. I like what one writer says about this and what he states. He said, "Finally, we're given the solid basis for our prayers, the ground of redemption." In reality, redemption purchased or paid the purchase price for all mankind, that we may say to each one that God has loved you and that you have already been purchased as far as God is concerned through the blood of Jesus. Amen? There's no doubt about that. The price for fallen man's salvation is paid at the cross. Again, I want to state, be careful of doctrines out there. Amen. Everyone has to believe on Christ to be saved. He that believeth not is damned, the Scripture said. Amen. But the price, so that everyone can be saved. In other words, there's no reason for anyone to be lost. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord can and will be saved if we repent of our sins and we look to Christ for our salvation. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's when I pray. When I pray for people, I plead the blood of Jesus that has already been shed for their salvation. And it can only be done on the ground of redemptive sacrifice and redemptive love. We do not mean to imply that because all persons have been purchased by God through redemption, they are thus automatically saved. They must believe and accept the gospel for themselves. But this, our intercessions, enables them to have that opportunity to do so. To pray for them in the name of the Lord Jesus is to ask for or to claim the things which the blood of Christ has secured. Therefore, each individual for whom prayer is made should be claimed by name as God's purchased possession in the name of Jesus Christ on the ground of His shed blood. Hey, if you're listening today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, we are pleading the blood of Christ in your behalf, that you may understand how much God loves you, and you may understand the terrible, awful destiny of the lost, and that you may choose life that you may live. Praise God that you may come out of the prison house that you're in. You say, preacher, you don't know the habits I have. You don't know. No, I don't. And I don't even need to know how deeply locked into sin you are. All I need to know is the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And know that it's been shed for you. Hallelujah. And to know the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus' name to set you free today. You know what Jesus said when He began His public ministry? He started with a declaration of His power to set the captive free. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He hath anointed me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord." And if you look right beside that verse of Scripture in the New Testament, it will shoot you right back to the Old Testament year of Jubilee, when slaves, bond slaves, were free. They don't have to work for their masters anymore. Amen. They're free to go. Amen. Nothing legally holds them to that master anymore. Praise God. Everything about Jesus' ministry is loosing and liberating. Praise the Lord. So today, amen, don't let the devil hoodwink you, hornswoggle you, and tell you that you can't be free. Maybe others can, but you can't. There's no sin that God can't forgive except the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ. There is absolutely, and I understand this is blaspheming the Holy Ghost, is to reject, resist, and attribute to the one who has come to save you the very works of the devil. And that is in a rejection of Christ Himself and a rejection of the Holy Spirit Himself. But if you confess your sin, I'm telling you today, there is no sin that God cannot forgive, and there is no habit and no sinful prison that holds you captive that Christ cannot set you free from. I pray for people that just have little sins with I plead the blood of Jesus, and people that have those big glaring sins, I plead the same blood, for there's power in the blood of Jesus to set you free today. Amen. If you're a Christian, you're interceding for someone and it looks like they just are so hard, there is no hope. I want to encourage you to keep on praying today, because the lost are loved by God. Hallelujah. And because He has loved them so much, He has made a way for everyone to be saved is not willing that any perish. And all of heaven's resources come into play when we move into the priestly ministry of intercession. You know, I've prayed for people for years, and I've witnessed to them and talked to them and urged them, and they didn't listen. And it looked like nothing could get through to them. And after years, suddenly, I saw God's power come upon them. I would get a phone call and someone had received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Sometimes it takes weeks, sometimes only days, sometimes months, sometimes years. But I want to tell you something. Amen. God's love doesn't give up. God's love doesn't give in. God's love doesn't quit anybody. When God turns people over to a reprobate mind, it's because His love has been so rejected. He sees that the heart is so hardened that even continuing to reach out to them will do absolutely no good. And only God has eyes that can see the condition of the human heart. But we are commissioned to pray, to intercede, hallelujah, for all men, because God wants all men saved. And Jesus has already paid the price so that men and women, boys and girls, can be saved at the cross. Praise God. Remember that great song, "At the Cross." At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my soul just rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Something happens at the cross that only God can accomplish, only God can do. The scales literally fall from sin and Satan blinded eyes, and we see our lost condition, and we see our great need for a Savior, and we see Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The lost are loved by God, and they are blinded by Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan, through spiritual blindness, hides the truth of man's lost condition. I'm not saying today that you, sir, if you're not a Christian, don't know that you're lost right now. I'm saying you don't understand. You don't understand. If you understood what it really means to be lost, you would run to God. You wouldn't waste another second. You wouldn't push Jesus away. You wouldn't choose sin over righteousness. You wouldn't choose darkness over light. You really don't see the awful state that you are in and the peril that you're in. But if you ever saw it, you would run to the cross. Run to be saved. Amen. But Satan, through spiritual blindness, hides the truth of our lost condition. And he hides the truth of God's saving power. 2 Corinthians 4:3 said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost." The lost are blind, but God opens the eyes of the blind. And what we're praying for is that those scales would fall off of the eyes of people who don't know the peril that they're in. That Holy Spirit conviction would come. It's not an act of condemnation or accusation. It's an act of love telling us you're not ready to stand before God. If you died, heaven wouldn't be your home. Come to Christ and be saved. It's a loving God reaching out to save us. If we knew the deadly power of sin, we would run to Jesus for salvation. You know, last week I heard on the news, and I hope that the snake has been secured, but a very poisonous snake, a cobra. And a cobra, a particular type of cobra that they say is not just deadly, but is very deadly. Its venom is very deadly, and few people survive. Got got away, got out of its enclosure in the zoo, and it's loose somewhere. And the whole city of New York is antsy. You know, there's all kinds of crime and muggings and things going on, but this snake has caused the city to be sensitive to the fact that it could be loose and sooner or later get out of the zoo area and get out into communities or into the city or into a store or shop. And people are antsy about it because they know one bite from this deadly cobra, that venom gets in you, your life immediately is put in jeopardy. See, if we understood, and so everyone is praying, catch this thing, kill it or put it back in the enclosure, but take this threat away. Listen, sin, if we could see sin as worse than the most deadly cobra that there is on this planet, if we could see the venom that's already been injected into us and see that there is no one that will escape the spiritual death, the eternal death that comes from this bite. But there's an antidote. Jesus' blood can be applied, and all of the deadly venom of sin can be neutralized. And the captive cannot just be set free, but saved, praise God, and given eternal life. That's what the blood of Jesus has the power to do today. So when we pray for people that are loved by God, but they're blinded by Satan, we're praying, amen, with the authority of Jesus' name, that the scales fall off of their eyes. And no matter how deeply entrenched in sin they are, that God would visit them, that God would come down, that God would open their eyes to their condition and their need, and that they would be drawn, hallelujah, to the power of the cross of Jesus Christ and the love of God. Listen, friend, you may be one of those people today that we are commissioned and made priest unto God to pray for because of God's great love for you. Jesus, the great priest, high priest of our confession, has come down. He has interceded on the cross for you. He shed his blood for you. Amen. So that you could be saved today. And I pray today that you will run to him and not run from him anymore. In fact, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over you and for you today. And I pray that you will answer the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ to come and to be saved just now. And if you're a Christian today, I pray that you will pray. Pray. All of heaven will line up behind you because we are a kingdom, a priest, and God has qualified us to pray. And heaven's resources are put at our disposal that we might plunder hell, populate heaven. Ma'am, pray for your husband who's an alcoholic. Intercede for him. Get your kids together. Join hands. Plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you've got a mama or daddy that's lost and you're a child, pray for mama. Pray for daddy today. God's resources will be yours. And God will work a work that man could never do, preachers could never do in and of ourselves today. Hallelujah. Ah, friend of mine, this is a great day to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and see men and women, boys and girls, set free. If you prayed in a sinner's prayer right now, God is coming to where you are. God is setting you free. Hallelujah. Don't ever turn back. Run to God. Hallelujah. Well, we love you today. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? that are stained with sin.